Good evening, everybody. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking fantasy baseball, talking whatever we want to talk about. I'm here, as usual, with the great Mr. Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, how are we today?
Well, you know, Rich, it was one of those days. Being that I own Jose Quintana in just about all of my leagues, I watched that early performance, and then I said, well, enough's enough. I'm going to sit back and bond with Kathy and watch a sports movie. So I watched The Wizard of Oz.
Now, you actually drafted Jose Quintana for my team, the house league that we're in, the 12-team auction league together. And we started off the day, Tim, in third place, looking really, really good. And shall I tell you where we are now after Quintana let us down?
Second?
I don't think so. Tim, I think we're in a big delay here, so it might be a little awkward for our user or our listeners, but that's the way it is. Quintana, 4 innings, 10 hits, 9 earned runs, 1 strikeout, Tim. We did get 1 strikeout. We are now sitting in after an 11.17 ERA when Michael Pineda helped us there with an eighth place, Tim. We dropped 5 spots.
We'll have it back tomorrow, Rich. Not a concern. My biggest concern early on is the lack of offense I'm getting from a lot of players. I can handle the good and the bad days with pitching, but my offense has been offensive this far.
Tell me about it, Tim. Who has let you down?
Ryan Zimmerman hasn't been real helpful from a batting average side of things. Brandon Belt. The day-to-day things with things with Jose Reyes and Cowboy Cole Calhoun, not hitting the DL, not playing, sitting for 4 or 5 days, costing me at bats. I think it'll be fine in the long run, but there's nothing I hate worse than the day-to-day stuff.
I agree with you, Tim. Looking at Ryan Zimmerman batting a cool 158 before today's game, where he went 2 for 4. So he did pick up a little batting average. Tim, is this just a slump he's starting off with, or something to be concerned with?
No, I think it's just a slow start. His history is solid enough. He'll get the batting average back up there, but it just puts you in a hole on in some categories to start the year. And it'd be nice. I very rarely start strong, but one of these years I'm actually going to be in third place or better at the end of the first 2-3 weeks, Rich.
I know. So tell me about Brandon Moss, another guy batting 143, only 1 home run, really got off to a slow start this year, finally hit his first home run a few days ago. I do have him in that same league, Tim, that you drafted for me. Switches team, goes from Oakland to Cleveland. You think at least the power will translate over? Cleveland's a little bit easier ballpark to hit home runs in, and yet he's stuck up the joint.
Yeah, it's another one of those players off to a slow start. Hey, ride the storm out. It'll get better. It will.
Okay, I don't know. Brandon Belt, Tim, we're going to talk about him in a few minutes because, as we did last week, we are going to start off with just the top observations of the week, and I got a lot of really positive feedback from that segment, Tim. So we might just continue this the whole week long. So why don't we just start it off quick out of the gate. Tim, give me your first observation of the week.
Okay, Dalton Pompey might be on his way back to AAA, and it's not because of his slow start with the stick.
Tim, I agree with you. I've seen him play a number of times. This is a really elite defender. Tim, he's looked terrible in the field. He played an out into a three-run double today, and I saw, I think it was yesterday, it was a little pop-up, and he just stood there and didn't see it at all. And he finally started coming in. It was too late, bounced right in front of him.
Yeah, well, did you see the one he airmailed today to third base?
I did not.
Well, that led to another run. Yeah, he threw it into the dugout from the outfield. He was, about 8 feet high, I would say, going into third base. There were some comments he attributed to the fact that he's very nervous and he doesn't want to lose his job, yada, yada, yada. But, the kid's got to relax a little bit. He's got the skills to do it, but obviously he's pressing. And, the Jays can handle the fact that he's going to struggle with the stick, but they can't handle when his performance today led to four runs, basically.
Yeah, and again, yesterday was not a good weekend for the young Canuck, Tim, for sure. And I have been very, very strong on him. Another guy I've been strong on, my first observation, Tim, I'll just say it. Thank God Steven Souza finally started hitting. I can now show my face again. It was ugly there for the first weekend in spring training, but he's turned it around, batting almost 290, got three home runs on the board, another home run today. He's looking like the guy I thought he was going to be.
Well, and you know, Rich, I'm expecting a thank you card in the mail because it was that trip into Toronto that made the difference. So, you know, hey, there is a Canadian connection there, Rich, definitely.
I totally agree, Timmy. He looked really good against the Yankees this weekend. So he's finally starting to relax. I did get a chance to watch a couple of his games. Tim, I had a terrible cold this week. I was supposed to go catch a weekend series in Trenton, and my wife took my radar gun from me and said, no, you're staying in, pal, because you're too sick to be out. And I finally was able to get out today, but Friday and Saturday, I was sick as a dog.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's something that's going around the continent right now, Rich, because I was dealing with a head cold myself all this week, and spring, it's in the air. The next thing you know, we got pollen all over the place, and hello.
There you go. I head off to tomorrow night, Tim, for a week in Asia, so I got to get myself better. I have to give a TED Talk is, Tim?
A what?
A TED Talk. They're educational talks, and I've been preparing for this for a month. And I hired a speechwriter to help me pull it together, and it's a 30-minute prepared educational speech that I'm doing, and I have to go. It's not like I can blow this thing off. I'm giving it next Friday, and so it's a keynote in front of thousands of people. So I gotta make this trip. I leave tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, no, I basically after the Quintana day today consider myself illiterate, so maybe I should take that course.
There you go, Tim. It's actually interesting. You can go online and see a bunch of TED Talks. There's a lot of famous people have done, a lot of not famous people have done it. It's actually a really cool thing. Anyway, so I'll be, everybody think of me on Friday. Probably you'll be in the middle of the night, Tim. So it'll be your Thursday night. I'll be giving a TED Talk in front of a bunch of people. I think it's going to be interpreted. So it's a different language so people can – it's going to be crazy. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, Tim, your second observation.
My second observation. Oh, let's see, which one should I pick? Every time a Twins player has a good game, they sit him the next day. Arcia, in a slump, he home runs, he gets a home run, he sits the next day. Plouffe, struggling, home run, sits the next day. Has anybody ever thought to mention maybe to Molitor that this might not be the best of plans?
Yeah, I know. I agree with the 10 of that's. I mean, last year, we made a lot of fun of the Twins, and somebody called us out on it. And the last I heard today, they were third in runs scored, either in the American Leagues or Major League Baseball. I don't know what stat was it both or just the one league. But clearly their offense is okay. I mean, their pitching is horrendous, though they got a good start out of Trevor May. Question for you, Oswaldo Arcia, is this a guy that we think we can count on this year?
Yeah, I'm counting on him still. My biggest concern is it always seems like for one reason or another he's in the doghouse in Minnesota, and I wish I understood why. I don't currently. Any thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on that one?
I'm surprised he doesn't have more power than he's showing. I mean, that was when he was coming through the minor leagues, Tim. He would swing at everything, a big long swing, but could always, he always kind of is at least plus power, maybe even more. And I'm seeing more high teens, low 20s kind of power. And, the hit tool is just not there. So I'm a little worried that the power hasn't come through. And it does seem like he's on a bit of a short lease in Minnesota.
Yeah, it seems that way, and I don't know, maybe I've just overestimated what I believe he's capable of. Either that or the Twins don't know what they're doing, and I'm gonna go that I know what I'm doing and the Twins don't. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Tim, we're going to do one more. Then I'm going to let you go for just a minute so you can call back in, because we do have this fairly long delay. I'm hoping that will fix things. And while you're gone, I will do our commercials and things like that. But let's do my next one, and then I'm going to let you go. You'll call right back in. Does that sound fair?
That sounds good. Yeah, it's still sounding a little hollowish, echoish, Rich. So it's not your usual strong voice. So I think something's up with Blog Talk.
Well, we'll see. Let me do mine. And I guess, Tim, it's a little disconcerting on Ian Desmond. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch any of his games. You just hear about it. I mean, he is missing everything in the field, Tim. I think he's got 7 errors, even more misplays. I saw a game yesterday. Literally, Tim, it was a dribbler hit to him, and he missed it. I mean, he got the ball, and he just flopped it. And the next play was the double play, the guy that got on with an error. Double play. It was just a nice little toss to him, and he flubbed that one. And I don't know if it's the yips. I don't know what, if it's lack of concentration. He's hitting like there's no tomorrow. But man, the fielding is just horrendous.
Yeah, I think what he's got to do is he's got to quit reviewing game tape of John Lester, Rich.
Yeah, Tim, that's unbelievable. John Lester can't throw to first. But did you see the play that he did today, where the ball got kind of stuck in the webbing? He threw his entire glove and the ball to first base?
No, I missed. I've seen several of those before, but he actually pulled it off and they got the out.
They got it out. It was amazing because Rizzo drops his glove as Lester is throwing his glove and the ball together and catches it for an out. It was a remarkable play. Yeah, I think actually Lester's done that before. Maybe needs to get a new glove, Tim.
Yeah, well, either that or he's found his way out of not being able to hit first base. But getting back to Desmond, yeah, it's sort of scary. And you know, every time I see something like that, it brings me back to Chuck Knobloch and the problems, yep, you know, that overcame him. And isn't it amazing when you take a player who has done something for, probably in Desmond's case, 15 years of his life, which is scoop up a routine grounder and throw it to first base, and then all of a
sudden. And Tim is gone. So I thought there was a problem with his connection, and he is really gone now. I didn't drop him, but he is gone. So hopefully everybody in the interactive chat room can hear me. We're going to go ahead and do our little introductions, and then I'm going to do our sponsor review here. So if the best way to get in touch with us, if you want to do that, is on the Twitter at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG. You can get a hold of me at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC for the great Tim McLeod. If you want to go out and join our Facebook group, you can do that. It's prospect361.com. Dynasty League groups, and we talk a lot more about Dynasty Leagues out there. People will simply say, Jose Abreu, talk, and you'll get 30 or 40 comments on Jose Abreu and what he is doing or not doing. So it is a pretty remarkable site out there. Let's now kind of go to our sponsor, FanDuel. FanDuel is where you play daily. Let me start all over again here. FanDuel is where you play daily fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. You can start with as little as a dollar a day to play, and if you win, you get the satisfaction immediate payout after you win. You don't have season-long commitments as you pick a brand new team any day you want. Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this Major League Baseball season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code P361 and sign up now. There's actually a special offer going for the first 50 users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good, again, for the first 50 people that use the code P361. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, and sign up today. I played out on Saturday. I did a couple of head-to-head leagues, 1-2 and lost one. I think I won a total of about $12. So had a lot of fun doing it. It does make it really interesting just to to kind of do that on a daily basis. So hopefully the great Tim McLeod will be joining us. He's actually in the interactive chat room because if he thinks I'm going to do this with a cough and so forth, it's going to be I really don't want to do that. So hopefully the great Tim McLeod will be calling back in. Let me give you a couple of my other kind of out-of-the-gate observations of the week. And the next one is the Mets are, in fact, for real. They've got the fifth lowest ERA in the majors and are holding their own at 10th best in team batting average. So it's pretty impressive what they're doing, and they keep losing guys. Travis d'Arnaud goes down today with a broken hand, so they've called up young Kevin Plowicki. And I'll talk to Timmy about that, but I'm a big fan of Kevin Plowicki. He was number 55 on my top 100 list. Offensive-minded catcher, really nice hit tool, not a ton of power. So that's probably the one thing that we have to worry ourselves with. Will he have enough power? But I think he can hit 10 to 12 home runs and bat, 260 to 280. So Kevin Plowicki, I'll ask Timmy if he thinks he's a run at getting him picked up. But that's my next observation is the Mets are, in fact, for real. So I'm going to bring Mr. McLeod back on the line. Timmy, you there?
Yeah, I sure am, Rich. I was talking away, and the next thing I knew, beep, 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 and I was gone.
I know, Tim. I saw you disappear, so hopefully it was your connection that was the problem, but I guess we will find out. I just said my observation, the Mets, Tim, I think they might be for real.
Yeah, you got to love the pitching, and what? Familia is now, what, 6-for-6 in the save department?
Yeah, and now, I mean, I just mentioned that Travis d'Arnaud goes down, Tim. Broken hand, I'm sure, will be out for at least 6 weeks. And they're bringing up young Kevin Plowicki. What's your thoughts there?
Well, I love the contact skills. And the thing that I like the best about Plowicki is they're not going to bring him up to sit him on the bench and be that second catcher. They're moving him right into the role. And, you know, we're looking at a broken hand, so we could be looking at, what, 2+ months? So it'll be a good audition for young Mr. Plowicki, and I think he's warranting of our attention on the waiver wire this week.
I agree, Timmy, and I've already put in a couple waiver claims for him in redraft leagues. I used to own him in a dynasty league, but I traded him over the winter to our good friend Stu Gutter. I got Brian McCann in a trade, and I gave up Plowicki as one of the pieces in that. And I wasn't happy about it, Tim, because I do like Kevin Plowicki a lot, but to get Brian McCann, I thought that was the right move. But let me ask you a question. Plowicki or Jacob Romoto, who is really now the number one catcher in the Marlins, who another catcher I've been very, very high on. If you go back all the way to 2013 on P361, Tim, I've been writing about how much I love Romalti and had him in my top 100 all the way back in 2013.
Yeah, I own him in two dynasty leagues, Rich. So I'm rather bullish on Realmuto. I think he's a real deal. I think Salty's on his way out. Apparently, they tried peddling him over the winter to no success. But I think, as we discussed earlier, I think it was back in January, we thought that we'd be seeing him about mid-season. Well, mid-season got moved up, and he's not going anywhere. So, when I look at the two of them, I think my first priority would be Realmuto, simply because I think he's got the job moving forward. When you look at Plowicki, eventually d'Arnaud is going to be back, and that's going to create a bit of a playing time crunch, I think, because I don't think d'Arnaud is going to lose his number one status. But definitely Realmuto is going to cost some cash tonight.
I agree with you. And, Realmuto, just for those who don't know, this is a guy that was a star football player in high school, played shortstop. So Timmy is very, very athletic. That's why we see a little bit more speed than the classic catcher, because he's a little bit more athletic than the typical catcher. So I think there's double-digit stolen base potential there, and I think that's where his real fantasy value kind of sneaks in there. So don't be surprised if we see like a 12-12 kind of guy with a decent batting average. And for a catcher, I'll take that any day of the week.
Well, yeah, especially in a lot of circumstances, you're going to be looking at this guy as a second catcher. And that's even a bigger bonus.
Terrific. So, Tim, I got the Mets as my third one. What's your third observation?
Okay, lost in all the hype of Chris Bryant Day, last week something very, very significant happened down on the farm, and it involved Addison Russell. Addison Russell is now playing second base. Interesting, isn't it? Joe Maddon loves his super subs. He got a ton of mileage out of Zobrist in his early days, playing him all over the place. Joe Maddon now happens to be running the Cubs organization. I have a hunch that we're going to see Addison Russell sooner than later, Rich.
Yeah, I thought for the longest time, Tim, there's absolutely no reason for him to come up. They would do the Chris Bryant kind of approach and have him extend another year. My only caveat, Tim, is if the Cubs turned out to be a little better than everybody thought, if they have a chance to compete, then I think you could see him come up, and I think you'll see him come up soon if that is in fact the case. Otherwise, he doesn't come up. So to me, it'll be in May or he doesn't come up this year. Now, I think if Lester keeps pitching the way Lester's been pitching, they ain't going anywhere, Tim. But if Lester can somehow become a semblance of what he was last year, the last couple of years, that's turning into a pretty good little team.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, right now, who do the Cubs have at second base?
Well, they've got Tommy La Stella, Tim. I mean, Tommy La Stella's a stud. I mean, that's 8 home runs and 4 stolen bases right there for you, Tim. Come on.
Are we talking this year or career?
Yeah, Tommy La Stella is a contact guy. He's a really nice number 2 batter. But if you look at the Cubs, and I watch a lot of Cubs game because it was not Chris Weekend Day, Chris Bryant Day. It was Chris Bryant Weekend, Tim. So, I mean, they have Fowler at the top of the lineup. And then who are they batting second? Now I've forgotten. But then it's Rizzo third, Bryant fourth. So that's a nice 1-4 if I can remember who's batting second. And then it falls
Castro?
Off in a hurry. I think now Castro is batting sixth, I believe. I can't remember who's batting second. Somebody in the interactive chat room will tell us. So, but anyway, I think having an Addison Russell, Tim, boy, that would lengthen out that lineup really nicely.
Yeah, it's just something that I think our listeners should be aware of is the fact that, you know, hey, just because there's a glut of shortstops, it doesn't mean that Addison Russell is going to be buried forever. And my gut feeling on the issue is that he's going to be up sooner rather than later. I don't have anything to support it, but I know Joe Maddon loves his super sub type of players. And, you know, I read a bit, you know, coming from Russell, and he is definitely keen on doing anything that gets him to the big leagues quicker. And, you know, he was very, very positively responsive to the move to second base, Rich.
Solaire is batting number 2, Tim, so that's where I got it. It's Fowler, Solaire, Rizzo, Bryant, Castro, Coughlin. So, how about Fowler, Russell, Rizzo, Bryant, Solaire, Castro, Coughlin? How about that as opposed to after Coughlin becomes, well, at least today it was Ross catching, but or Montero or something like that. I mean, you can really lengthen that out if you put another bat in there. And I don't know, does that make Alcantara? Does he lose playing time if Russell comes in?
I would have to think so, yeah. But let's face it, if I see Addison Russell playing a game at third base this week, I'll get even more interested, Rich.
Tim, my number 4th one is I just have Brandon Belt. Yikes. Tim, it has been butt ugly for yours and mine, one of our favorite players. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm on the edge, Tim. I have jumped out of the window. I'm on the ledge of the window. I'm about ready to jump. Save me, Tim. Tell me to come back into the room.
Is it from anything higher than the first floor, Rich?
Tim, it's on the 4th floor, Tim. I can hurt myself very badly.
Okay. Well, that makes a big difference in how we analyze this situation. Hey, he's off to a slow start. I'm not concerned about Brandon
Slow start, Tim. Slow start. He was batting 103 when he started today. Tim, that's as bad as it gets. Come on.
Well, I think in hindsight, he might have been better off taking a DL stint. I think he's still hurting from the from that groin injury, and I think that's been plaguing his play. So I'm at the stage right now where I'm not overly concerned. It's 2 weeks in. Let's revisit this in 2 weeks. If he's still batting 100, I'll buy you a parachute.
Okay, well, I think he's up to 150 or so because he was 2 for 4 today. But it is ugly, and you know, we're expecting him to hit some power. I don't think he's hit a home run yet. He did play left field, and people were tweeting, "Hey, Brandon Belt's playing left field," and a lot of formats, Tim, that gives him immediate outfield eligibility. I think he's playing Yahoo League, and I'm thinking, great. Now I can play a guy who sucks in multiple positions. You know, it's like that's where my head is at the moment, Tim.
Well, you know, it's always nice to have that flexibility when you want to be disappointed. You know, if you're just disappointed at one position, it's one thing. But now you can be disappointed all over the field.
Absolutely. Timmy, what's your fourth one?
Okay. Look yonder, folks. Has Alonso arrived? Isn't it amazing what some quality bats in the lineup and with a little bit of support, he's actually starting to look like the player I envisioned a couple years back. He's hitting at the top of the order in the two hole, and, you know, 7 strikeouts, 8 walks, 457 OBP. My question, has Alonso arrived, and is he a viable option?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think it depends on what you mean by arrived. If you're thinking a guy that's got a decent batting average that can hit 15 home runs, I think that's your guy. If you're thinking a slugger at first base, I think that's not the guy he is. I think he is, Tim, I'm going to give him a comp. You're going to tell me, ick. I think he's a little bit like James Loney. I think he's going to get on base a lot. I think he's a good defender. He's not going to be a power guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the thing that I've enjoyed watching is the fact that, you know, if you go back a couple of years ago, it was – you know, Jed Jerko and Alonso were carrying that team. Well, now they've brought in a pile of bats and some really good talent. And it just makes me wonder how much of Alonso's resurgence is due to the fact that he's been surrounded in that lineup by some really good talent. I think it's taken some of the pressure off, potentially allowing him to thrive in his role.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. And again, going back to Chris Bryant weekend, that first game against James Shields, he had no chance. Then Shields threw everything off speed. I think he threw one fastball, and I think he swung and missed on it because he wasn't expecting it. So there's nobody hitting behind Chris Bryant, and he's going to get a steady diet of off speed pitches, just like a lot of guys do, unless you have a little bit of lineup protection in there that somebody's afraid to put you on because they might have to face somebody even better. And I think we're seeing that, as you're saying, with Alonso. And I know there's a lot of debate about protection in the lineup, and a lot of statisticians kind of run those numbers. I can assure you, when I talk to scouts and when I talk to people in the front office and so forth, they always talk about lineup protection and the importance of having a deep lineup and putting your quality guys in front of other quality guys because, you know, that's the way the game is played. So if that's the argument you're using, I totally agree with you with Yonder Alonso.
Yeah, that was my argument. It was just an observation I made from the first couple of weeks. And I like what I'm seeing. In OBP leagues, he's got to be rostered, I think.
My final one, Tim, is Brett Laurie. What the hell's wrong with Brett Laurie, Tim? I mean, he created a mess in Oakland versus Kansas City. It was kind of fun from a fan perspective, but has a wipeout slide of Alcides Escobar. Fortunately, Alcides Escobar doesn't look to be too bad off, but they hit him once, they throw at his head twice, and people get thrown out of games. And he apparently texted Alcides Escobar an apology, and Alcides Escobar claims he never got the apology. And Eric Hosmer was the one that gave Brett Laurie his phone number, and maybe he gave him somebody else's phone numbers. All this thing swirling. My point is, Tim, it seems like this kind of stuff follows Brett Laurie wherever he goes because he plays like a maniac, and I don't think people like that.
Well, I think it's a very, very fine line. He crossed it, obviously, with that slide into second base. But when I look at what happened today, Kelvin Herrera crossed the line even worse. And
totally,
I happened to catch I caught the interview with with Laurie after the game, and he used the word bull blank at least twice, and he's got a good point. You know, you can't be throwing at a guy throwing a ball 100 miles an hour can't be throwing at a guy's head. I think it's going to cost Herrera at least 5 games, maybe 10.
I actually picked them up in a league, Tim. You and I, the league that we're managing together, and I dropped them and picked up somebody else because I knew he was going to be gone for most of the week. There's no excuse for what Kelvin Herrera did. No excuse at all. But as my dad used to say, Tim, if you lay down with a dog who has fleas, you are eventually going to get fleas. And if Brett Lurie continues to play with his hair on fire, remember when he slammed the helmet down and went up and hit somebody, et cetera? We just lost Tim McLeod again. Got a beep, and Tim McLeod just went off the air. But if you remember that crazy scene when Brett Lurie basically threw the helmet off and almost hit somebody, it's the kind of stuff that seems to follow him. And he plays like Pete Rose, but he isn't Pete Rose. And I think he just needs to dial it back a little bit. Can say whatever he wants, but I think it's a problem. So hopefully Tim will join us again. I don't know why we're having so much trouble, but we are. Let's get on to some of the news. Chris Bryant, clearly it was the weekend of Chris Bryant. I saw every game. I saw every at-bat that he did. It was fun. And people who think it was just simply hype, well, it was, but it was a lot of fun. And that's what baseball was supposed to be about. As I indicated to Timmy, Chris Bryant had no chance against James Shield. No chance at all. Shield threw him sliders down and away, and he swung through every one of them. He was really aggressive during that first game. Second game was against Tyson Ross. Tyson Ross did the same thing, and Bryant was swinging and chasing everything. And then you could start to see him start to make adjustments. And in that second game, he wound up walking 3 times, finally got his first base hit, which was a broken bat base hit. Got his first RBI, and then today it was a similar kind of thing where he was a little bit more patient. He was laying off of those sliders down and away, which he knows nobody can hit those. He was trying to crowd the plate, then the pitcher would push him off the plate. You can see the adjustments being made very, very quickly with Chris Bryant. And while he's going to strike out a ton, it's what you saw this weekend, which is the difference between Chris Bryant and Javier Baez. Javier Baez never started to make those adjustments. He got demoted. Chris Bryant has been able to make those adjustments, and I think that's the big difference that we're seeing with a player like Bryant versus Javier Baez. Tim, I don't know if you heard that analysis. Do you agree?
Yeah, I heard it, and I do agree that is the key. You know, we saw Bryant go up there the first day and try and move the wall back a foot, and it didn't happen. But what we did see on day two was a batter that said, okay, well, you want to throw me crap? Well, hey, you just go ahead and throw it. I will stand here, and let's see you get one over the plate. He took his 3 walks, and I totally agree on your comparison between Baez and Bryant. Baez would have been up there on day two swinging for the fences again and striking out another 3 times. Bryant is a good baseball player. He's got the potential to be a great baseball player. But he's going to have to learn how to deal with the fact that people are not going to throw to his strength. They're not going to groove fastballs just so that he can hit one 460 feet. And I think Bryant will make the adjustments, but it's not going to be an overnight sensation, and he's not going to hit 40 home runs this year.
Totally agree with you, Tim. I think 20 to 22 is where I'm at. I think he's going to steal a dozen bases. I think it'll be a really nice baseball player for you, and I'd be picking him up. So if you're in a 16 league, Tim, it's time to go pick him up because he is arrived. And I will tell you, I think that it's a great thing that he got just annihilated, is the right way to say it. He got totally outclassed by James Shield. Is that is your first day on the job? I think that's a lot better than what Javier Baez had, where he hit 2 home runs and said, this is easy. It was much better just to get brutalized for a day and realize, wow, this game is really, really hard. Timmy, breaking news before we got on the air. Carlos Rodon looks like he's going to be promoted tomorrow. And the White Sox say, well, he'll start in the bullpen, which is what I was hearing during spring training and actually over the wintertime, and actually wrote that on my site. But, Tim, I'm beginning to think, given the start that the White Sox have had, I think he moves to the rotation. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be in the pen for very long, Rich. I think I give him maybe a week max, and I think you'll see him in that rotation. Hey, the Sox are struggling right now. They need the boost that I think a Rodon will give them, man. You know, when you look at the struggles that they've had, that arm is certainly going to help, and I think it's going to help them more in the rotation than it will in that bullpen.
Tim, we also learned that Carlos Gomez is landing on the DL with a hammy. He'll be out for 2 to 3 weeks. So I've gone out to our house league, our 12-team team house league, which is what a lot of people will play. Just going to list a couple of players, and you give me your thoughts on who you might go out to the waiver wire this weekend and grab if you're owner of Carlos Gomez. Got Nick Markakis, 62% owned. He is now back and not doing a whole lot, but that's what Nick Markakis is. He gets on base. Ender Inciarte, got 2 stolen bases. He's next in line. Carlos Beltran, Diaza, Sam Fold, Torrey Hunter, Dustin Ackley, Michael Taylor, Josh Hamilton. Those are your top guys. Can any of those float your boat if you own Carlos Gomez and you need a replacement, or do you have somebody else in mind?
Well, yeah, I like both Markakis and I like Inciarte. You know, even though he struggled a bit this weekend, it seems that by inserting him into the leadoff role and putting Pollock in the two-hole, Pollock has responded just fine. The D-backs have said that Inciarte is going to be playing virtually every day. Offers you some nice speed. Markakis, he's going to get some RBIs. He's going to hit for a decent average. He might be boring, but he's not a bad pickup. And the other guy I'd slide in there who's off to a good start that we've talked about numerous times is Jake Marisnyk in Houston. I think he's another viable option.
Toss another name out to you, Timmy. Chris Young. He's not starting, but he's had 29 at-bats. He's got 3 home runs. He's got 8 RBIs. And with Carlos Beltran, I mean, basically under the Mendoza line, I'm wondering if Chris Young doesn't get more at-bats than we originally thought.
Well, you know, as long as Beltran continues to struggle, yeah, that potential is always there. I still think he's going to play at best 3 out of 5 days, but so far he's settled into that role very nicely.
Tim, Brad Osma says that once Joe Nathan comes back from the DL, he will get the closer role again. You buying that?
Yeah, for one outing. When he falls apart, then Soria will be back in there. I think loyalty is wonderful, and it's great to have that loyalty to your players. But at the same point in time, there comes a point where you've got to say, okay, it is what it is, and I'm sorry, but I can be as loyal as I want, but we got to win games. And the decisions have to be based on the reality of the situation, which is right now Soria is a far better pitcher than Joe Nathan. So if Nathan does slide back into the role, it's not going to be for a very long time. Hold on to Soria.
I totally agree with you. And I think Joe Nathan is they might cut him, Tim.
Well, at some point in time, if he's not effective, the Tigers are a good baseball team. They can't afford to be handing games to the opposition because of a bullpen issue.
I forgot about another significant injury, Tim. I went right over it. That is David Wright hits the DL with another hamstring problem, just a similar hamstring as Carlos Gomez has. They call up Eric Campbell. He did okay, Tim, for the first time up. What are your thoughts on Eric Campbell?
Yeah, he didn't get into a soup, so that's a good thing. Sorry, I had to take advantage of one cheap pun tonight. Yeah, I think in NL-only leagues, I think he's an option. But when I look at the waiver wire, I think there's some better options sitting out there, Rich, that will provide better numbers than Campbell. Like I said, in an NL-only format, yeah, go get Campbell. But in a mixed, I think there's better choices.
Well, let's talk about in a mixed. And I brought up again our 12-team house league on ESPN. And at the top of the list is a guy who's been playing forever, Aramis Ramirez, owned in 70% of leagues. Chase Headley is out there, 2 home runs, batting a woeful .214. David Freese, there's never any love for David Freese, but he's 3 home runs, batting .209. Alani Chisenhall is out there. Tim, he's .241, no home runs in typical. Trevor Plouffe is out there, 2 home runs, still on the interstate at .143. Timmy, any of those guys grab your boat?
Well, I'm surprised Cody Ashe isn't out there. He's available in most leagues.
He is out there, Tim. He's a little bit more 361, got a home run.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably toss a buck or two down on Cody Ashe. Right now he's the only one in Philly, I think, that's batting over 200. So I'd go after Ashe. Will Middlebrooks has seven RBIs, yes, and seems to be playing every day. If you're looking for a little bit of clout, Middlebrooks, I think, is a fine option.
Yeah, Middlebrooks with his third home run today, Tim. Two more RBIs, another 1-for-4. He's had 5 games in a row, 5-game hitting streak. So Will Middlebrooks always was a lot better player than he showed in for the Red Sox. He's not an all-star, Tim, but I think he's a solid regular kind of third baseman, and I think somebody that probably should be owned in 12-team leagues now.
Well, yeah, when you start looking at, 20-plus home run potential, probably 75 RBI at third base, there's nothing wrong with that at all. You just have to be prepared to live with the fact that you're looking at a 220, 230 batting average in all probability.
Nelson Cruz, Tim, is making Safeco Field look very small. He started the day off with 6 home runs. He hit another 2 home runs. He has 8 home runs, Tim, in the first 2 weeks. He has 14 RBI. I know he's on an incredible hot streak. I know that he did nothing in the second half this last year, but I got to tell you, you got to be loving life if you're an owner of Nelson Cruz right now.
Oh, without a doubt, he's certainly making a liar out of me. I wasn't expecting that level of power in Safeco. On top of the fact that he hit 2 more today, I think he also singled in the winning run that caused my ERA to be even more inflated against Neftali Feliz. So, yeah, he's on fire. Hey, his owners are going to be at the top of the pack, I would think, 2 weeks in.
So, you know about my dog Elvis, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I certainly do. Elvis is, 17 going on 30, and he's the love of your family's life.
He's actually going to be 17 years old. So he is at in the lifetime. So he is at his age expectant. So, but he's a great dog and wool blind, can't hear a darn thing. But we bell trained him, Tim. You know what that means?
No.
So we have a little bell in the back door, and when he needs to go to the bathroom, he puts his nose up against the bell and he rings the door. It's actually very impressive. He's a stupid dog, but when he rings the bell, people think he's really brilliant. Well, my wife is not feeling well, too, so she's gone off to bed, and Elvis has been ringing the bell. So what's going to happen when our show's over about an hour? I'm going to go out and see a big puddle somewhere. So that's what I got to look forward to.
Well, now that you mention that bell training, our youngest lad did that with their dog. The only problem is with that particular training method is at some point in time, the dog really figures out every time that touch that bell, somebody comes running. So it turns into not just I got to go outside, it's now I got to go outside, but maybe I want to play first, and maybe I want food, and maybe I just want to torment you by ringing that bell. How does that sound?
Yeah, I mean, we've lived with that his entire life, Tim. I mean, in the evenings, he's pretty docile during the day, but in the evening, he wants to go out and play. So he'll ring the bell 3 times an hour. Ring the bell, you let him out, you sit down, he rings the bell again. I mean, it's tough watching a baseball game. I have to put the game on pause to go out and let the dumb dog out. But it helps now because when he rings the bell, he really does have to go out. And he's old, Tim, so that means his bladder's not what it used to be. So there's going to be a puddle somewhere. I just have to go find it.
Something to look forward to in your late evening hours, Rich.
Absolutely. Adam Ottavino, just to close off the loop, Tim, we talked about a lot of closers last week. It definitely looks like Hawkins is out in Colorado at the age of 42, and young Adam Ottavino is in him with the addition of his cutter. And if you go out to Brooks Baseball, his cutter is getting a ton of swing and miss on it. And it's really what's made the difference this year. Tim, over under 30 saves with Adam Ottavino.
Well, the fact that he struck out 5 of his first 6 batters and recorded back-to-back saves, I'm going with the over. I think he's going to put in, I'm going to go over 35, Rich.
Yeah, I think he's he's the real deal. And people that got him early this year, well done. That's a guy that we didn't talk about a lot in the offseason, Tim. And I know I missed him. I'm sure you didn't miss him, but I missed him. And we should have been talking about him earlier to help our listeners out, but it's one that got away.
Yeah, I drafted him in Toad. I drafted him. Actually, I drafted him in three or four leagues simply because I didn't think that Hawkins would hold up the whole year, and there was an opportunity there for saves. I didn't think it was going to happen as quickly as it did, but I'm very thankful it did.
Okay, big shot. So, Mr. I'm an amazing fantasy player. First of all, how's your top team doing, Timmy?
Well, I've got Quintana on that team, Rich. So I took a bit of a beating today. My problem there, though, is offense. And we've already listed all of the players that we both own that suck. So I'm sitting mid-pack, seventh or eighth, and I'm one good week on offense away from being up at the top. So I'm not too concerned.
All right. Well, that's humbled you a little bit. Let's really humble you, Tim. It is time for Guess the Player. You ready?
Oh, I love finishing second in this, and I'm just glad that there's only two of us now, so I can't finish third, Rich.
I've actually got two. One's just a fun one, and one's a little bit more serious, but you might know the first one. But I was shocked, Tim. Again, not feeling well this week, and I watched a ton of baseball. And I looked up at the television, Tim. I had my TV on, obviously the laptop going with multiple games. That's how I rolled, Tim. I looked up, and the Philadelphia Phillies were on the big television. Tim, I just blew it. Gosh, I'm getting lousy with this. So I was going to ask which team does this player play for? So I'm going to have to flip it around. I think you're about ready to drop again, Tim. Are you still there? Timmy? I'm hearing beeping sounds, and then Tim seems to disappear. As soon as I hear beeping sounds, and he disappeared. So he's off again. We're having significant problems here. So we're going to have to kind of continue on, and I apologize. We're going to have Tim call in one more time, and if we get cut off again, then we're just going to call it a day. And unfortunately, it is what it is. So I am really sorry, Tim. I'm sorry, everybody that's listening to us. But I hear these beeping sounds, and then Tim disappears. He is back. Timmy, I don't know what's going on, my friend, but I hear three beeping noises, and then you're gone.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I've switched phones. It's happened with both phones, and they're both charged up, and I've used them every week since day one. So I think Blog Talk Radio is having an issue of sorts tonight, Rich, because that's, like I said, three beeps, and I'm out of there. So I would expect probably more of the same as we move forward, unfortunately.
Yes. So we'll do it one more time, and then we're going to just end the show. Anyway, I was going to do a guess the player, but I screwed up, Tim. Do you know that Jeff Francoeur now plays? He is in the starting lineup of your Philadelphia Phillies.
I believe he was hitting fourth the other day. That one I would have got.
Yes, he was hitting cleanup, Tim. That is ridiculous.
It speaks volumes as to the current state of baseball in the city of brotherly love.
And I feel bad for Phillies fans. I don't know how you can put up with Jeff Francoeur. No offense to Jeff Francoeur. He was an okay player when he came up with Atlanta. He is way over the hill. So it's a problem, and I feel bad for them. But, Tim, let's get to the real guest, the player. To celebrate Chris Bryant weekend, Timmy, can you name the last player to make his major league debut batting cleanup? That's it. There's about 82 batters that have come up from the minor leagues, and only a few of them have actually batted cleanup. Can you name the last one that did that?
Well, I was hoping you were going to ask who the last great player who debuted it on the same day as Brian. And believe it or not, Roberto Clemente made his debut on the same day as Chris Bryant, 60 years before. As far as this one is concerned, I'm going to go with Bryce Harper.
Tim, Mr. Know Everything About Fantasy Baseball, know everything about life. You can't be more wrong. It was actually Jose Abreu last year.
I forgot all about Jose. Yes, yes. And that's one that I had a decent chance of getting and should have, because I was all over Abreu last year.
Timmy, let's get into something. We've only probably got 10 more minutes left before you're going to drop off again. So let's talk about some hot pitchers and basically you're buying these guys. The first guy just got caught up this week, Danny Salazar. He's been up a couple times before, doesn't stay, but one game, one quality start, six innings pitched, two earned runs, six hits, 10 strikeouts, two walks. What are you doing this weekend if Danny Salazar is on the waiver wire?
If Danny Salazar is on the waiver wire, I think he is going to be the hot topic of discussion. As a matter of fact, we've got Doc Banker in the chat room. He wants to know on how much we're going to spend. And if it was a $100 budget, I would probably spend low 20s, Rich.
I would spend high 20s on a young Danny Salazar. So eventually he's going to put it together. I think he's a reliever long term, but Cleveland has, Tim, you have to admit, Cleveland has a way with pitchers.
Yeah, they certainly do. And when you look at that strikeout potential, you got to be all over it.
Absolutely. It's Tim, the next guy, and it seems like Yankees leave Yankee land, and they become pretty good, at least pitchers. We saw this with Ian Kennedy. Now we're seeing it with Shane Green. Again, he pitched well today, but before today, two games started, two quality starts, 16 innings pitched, eight strikeouts, one walk, hadn't given up a run yet, and only a 0.5 whip. I'm not sure what he did today, but I think the Detroit won like 11-1.
Yes, and the losing pitcher was Jose Quintana, by the way.
they actually won 9-1. If you're keeping score, Tim, that was thanks for drafting him on my team, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. You know, it's the least I could do, and I strive to do the least, Rich.
So Green today, seven innings, four walks, three strikeouts, one earned run. So he finally does have a 0.39. Doesn't strike out many, Tim. A little bit of command and control, guys. 3-0. You riding the hot hand?
Well, I think you got to ride the hot hand, but I think you also have to temper your expectations. He's off to a great start. Those who drafted him and have rostered him take advantage of it. But there will be a cooling off period, and Shane Green is not as good as what he's currently delivering, in my opinion. There'll be regression. So as long as you temper your expectations, I think you'll be fine.
He is a back of the rotation guy, Tim, or a swing guy. He is not as good as what he has shown. I'm not sure what it is. I haven't had a chance to see him, but I saw him a lot at Trenton, Tim, and he's not that good. I mean, he's just not that good. Maybe he's developed a new pitch. I don't know. He's still not going to strike out a ton of guys. He just doesn't have that kind of stuff. Another guy, Tim, that's not that good, but he's pitching very well. He moved over from Cincinnati to Detroit this year, Alfredo Simon. Two games started, one quality start, 11 and two-thirds innings pitch, only five strikeouts, two walks, a 2.02 ERA, and a sub-1 whip. What about Alfredo Simon?
I'm going to pass on the Alfredo, Rich, and I'll also pass on any cheap pasta jokes at this time as well.
Yeah, it's similar pitcher to Shane Green, a guy who's not going to strike out a lot, that overwhelming stuff, a little bit more control and command and control guy. A guy with a little bit better stuff is Anthony Discalfani, who came over from Miami, came up through the Miami system, now with Cincinnati. Two games started, two quality starts, 13 innings pitched, Tim, 11 strikeouts, three walks, 1.39 ERA, and a sub-1 whip. What are your thoughts on Mr. Discalfani?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's going to generate a fair bit of interest this week. Again, he's a young pitcher. There's going to be good days and bad, but I like the strikeout potential. And this is a sneaky week to be buying on him because, let's face it, everybody's going to be focusing their attention on Salazar. You might actually be able to sneak in with a fairly reasonable bid and acquire Discalfani.
That's a great call, Timmy. I totally agree with you there. My next guy, Tim, is Archie Bradley. The much talked about Archie Bradley, number one pitcher in the minor leagues for 2 years until, I guess, Giolito took over for him this year. A lot of people got down on him. I was not. I think I ranked him in my top 10, my top 100 list. Two quality starts, 12 and two-thirds innings, 10 strikeouts. He's walking a few too many guys at six walks, a 1.42 ERA, sub-1 whip. Tim, the control was not there yet, but, man, that guy's got some really, really quality stuff.
Yeah, I agree. There's some quality stuff there, and I think he was owned virtually everywhere breaking camp and heading into the season. There's not a lot of opportunity there from the waiver wire, but my big concern is, you know, the walk rate, and he's going to have days where he's going to make you pay for it, but for the most part, he's got to be rostered, and you got to be running him out there every day.
Rob Manfred, Tim, wanted to speed up the baseball games. We are in the bottom of the eighth inning on the Sunday night baseball game, which started at 8 o'clock. It's now 9:55, and they're in the bottom of the eighth inning.
That's not bad.
That's really good. It's a 1-1 tie, Tim, so it could go into 18 innings. But for now, they're going to finish in about 2 hours.
Well, yeah, they barely got through two innings in the KC-Oakland game today, I think, in 2 hours, Rich.
That's true. Last guy, Tim, I have Nice Martinez. I think it's actually Nick Martinez with Texas. We talk about him all the time on Two Start Pitchers, Tim, but he's actually pitching okay. 14 innings, only 6 strikeouts, 5 walks, hasn't given up a run yet, and a whip of 1-0. Feels like a sucker guy on the waiver wire at the moment.
Well, yeah, you know, when you look at the five walks and 2 starts, 6 strikeouts, you go back and you take a look at the 4.55 ERA and the 1.46 WHIP in 2014. Yeah, I think he's what do they call that? Organizational depth forced into a role.
Yeah, it's because there's nobody left, and there is nobody left there. So Nice Martinez, I do not think it's a guy I'm going to pick up. So just to summarize, Salazar, 2 thumbs up there. Green and Simon, nope. 2 thumbs down. DeScalfani, 2 thumbs up, but kind of modest thumbs up. Archie Bradley, 2 thumbs up. And Nice Martinez, 10, 2 thumbs down. Do I have it about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. There's definitely some potential in that group. But other than Salazar and Bradley down the road, I don't see Hall of Fame caliber there.
Yeah, agreed. So next week, Tim, we're going to finally go negative. We're going to talk about pitchers and hitters that are just butt ugly. And won't take us very long because we just have to go to our teams and see who's on the team because those are the guys who aren't hitting it. Do you know our bet, our $20 bet's not looking good? I don't think Prince Fielder's hit a home run yet.
Well, no, he hasn't hit a home run, but I think he's hitting somewhere around 380.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Who cares, Tim? Hit some home runs, man.
Well, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but at least he's hitting for average, which means he's getting back into a groove, and he's building up to the point where he's going to go on a massive run, and we're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, beginning of the day, 383, 5 RBIs, no home runs, Tim. He went 2-for-2 today, 2-for-5 today. Come on, Prince, swing and miss a little bit, hit, swing for the fences. You with me, Tim?
Well, yeah, Texas isn't going anywhere quick this year. Pad your numbers, Prince. I know it's not a contract year, but, hey, maybe they'll extend you.
Tim, some hot hitters. I'm going to talk about Lorenzo Cain. He's the only one that's probably not that's not available anywhere. He's better than I thought he was. I had dropped him a bunch of leagues last year, and he really played well. I didn't think he could sustain it. So far, 42 at-bats, 2 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 6 strikeout to 5 walk ratio, and he was had the walk off today. 429 batting average. Is Lorenzo? Did we see the true breakout of Lorenzo Cain last year? And is he going to sustain that this year?
Well, I think he's going to sustain some of it if he stays healthy. My big concern is the fact, you know, people are looking at those home runs and starting to have delusions of grandeur, as I put it. He's never hit double digit home runs. I think if you get 10 home runs out of Lorenzo Cain, you should be very, very happy. 30-plus stolen bases, 90-plus runs scored. Yeah, sure, I believe in that. I think it's very interesting that he's batting third in the order, and I think he's benefiting in a huge way from the hot starts of Eric Hosmer and Kendrys Morales. Hitting behind him, it's definitely been to his advantage.
Interesting, Tim. So what are you telling us? Is he a $20 player this year, you think?
Oh, yeah, he's a $20 player. I just think if people look and they see the 2 home runs, the RBI numbers, hey, I don't think Lorenzo Cain is going to be a 20 home run player. And that's a, you know, he's currently on a pace to exceed that. So just temper the expectations on the power, but I think everything else is very for real.
Yeah, you know who's for real, Tim? I know we talk about this guy all the time. Jose Altuve's for real. He really started off struggling last week, but man, over the weekend and the end of last week, let's call it Thursday through today, I mean, he's pushed his batting average back over 300. And just routine grounders are a challenge to get him out. It was a play today that he beat out, and it was pretty much a routine grounder to deep short. And he runs and plays so hard that he beats out everything. He's just a really, really good player.
Yeah, he is a very, very good player. And, you know, it's just one of those reminders that, you know, we're a grand total of 2 weeks into the season. It's a long, long year. A lot is going to change in the next three to six weeks. So, you know, if you're in a situation where players have started off slowly, think Altuve. They will bounce back. The quality, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, batting 320 now. Did get thrown out today, caught stealing. I think now he's 4 for 5. Devon Travis, Tim, your buddy up in Toronto, 45 at-bats. This is as of yesterday. 3 home runs, no stolen bases, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, batting 356. I think he's a good hitter, Tim. I'm not sure the 3 home runs is going to translate to plus 20, but I kind of like that on Travis. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm liking what I'm seeing, and, you know, the fact that he's got the job, I think as Duras is returning as a sub, Travis has got the job, he owns it. Yeah, he's off to a hot start, but I really like watching the kid play. He's very, very go-go. He hustles, he plays the game hard, the old-fashioned way. I think if you can get 15 homers, 10 stolen bases, and a 275, 280 batting average with a healthy dose of runs scored, especially if he's batting at the top of the order, I think you should be more than happy.
What's the latest on Jose Reyes, Tim?
Sorry, Rich, I missed that.
What's the latest on Jose Reyes?
The latest on Reyes is that he's not going to be going on the DL. There was a report today saying that what they're going to do is they're only going to have him batting right-handed, I believe it is. He's only going to bat from the one side for now until he's 100%. But it looks like he's avoided a DL stint.
Yeah, well, that never ends well there for Jose Reyes. You draft Jose Reyes, Tim. You just have to, Tim, you're about ready to drop. I'll finish this up, and we'll call it a day. Tim is beeping. That means he's going to go. I'm not sure exactly what's happening here. I'm just going to finish up the notes myself, and then we are going to call it a day. So just having all kinds of blog talk radio problems. I'm really sorry, everybody. It's apologies. Please accept our apologies. Also got Tim Beckham. Tim Beckham was the number one overall draft pick years ago with Tampa. Finally getting a chance to play. I kind of like him. I mean, he's a little shortstop, a little second base. So it's a guy that you might want to consider picking up. Kevin Pillar, I've never been a big fan of Kevin Pillar, but with the struggles that Dalton Pompey is having, I think Dalton Pompey might be the one that's demoted as opposed to Kevin Pillar when Michael Saunders comes back. So pick your poison with Kevin Pillar, but that's kind of it. So Tim's going to give it one more shot. We're going to go to Tim's waiver wire now. Tim, let's do your waiver wire, and then we're going to call it a day.
Yeah, no, I got the same three beeps and booted again, Rich. So Blog Talk's being cranky tonight.
It must be me, Tim, that I've logged in a bad setting, and because you get about 10 minutes and then you're gone. So you've got your waiver wire. I think it's important that we go over that. So so let's do that very quickly.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we've already mentioned Kevin Plawicki and, of course, Real Muto, so we can skip by them. Carlos Rodon, he's owned a chunk in CBS to 56%, but he's only owned at 2.6% in ESPN, and I think if you're playing in an ESPN league, go out there and get Mr. Rodon and get him very quick.
If you're in a fab, Tim, what percentage of your fab are you going to go with?
In 100 fab, I would probably go $12, $10, $12.
Wow. I'd probably go a little bit more, Tim. I might go 20. I don't think you're going to see many much talent like this come up. I mean, you might have John Gray coming up, Noah Syndergaard. There's a couple other guys that might come up, but Carlos Rodon might be the best guy coming up.
Yeah, good point. I changed my mind. I'll go low 20s. How's that?
Next guy you have is Rafael Montero. He went down to AAA to get some work in because they think they're going to go to a six starter, I guess, probably to allow Matt Harvey to space out his starts a little bit. So he didn't pitch very well, 2 1/3 today, or 2 2/3, gave up an earned run, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks, something like that.
Yeah, the thing I like is right now, he's a little bit under the radar. He's not going to pitch with the Mets until the 28th. But if you got room on your bench, throw a dollar bill out there and see if you can manage to procure his services and just hold on to and watch, because I think the potential is there to see a decent starting pitcher. And let's face it, they're going to a six-man rotation, but at some point in time, Dylan G is probably going to get moved, is my guess. And, hey, if you got an opportunity to pick up a guy cheap that I believe has some talent, I'm all over that.
I agree, Tim. And if Dylan G is not moved, then I think he goes to the bullpen. I mean, this is a guy he's just not very effective, let's be real. But, Tim, the guy on this list that I just stopped when I started laughing when I saw it, I really am interested in your analysis here. You have Jesus Montero. Is this a mistake? Jesus Montero coming up?
Well, you know what? Logan Morrison has now played 11 games. The score was 11-10 today for Seattle. The last I looked, he's batting under the Mendoza line, and he has in those 11 games a grand total of no home runs and no RBIs. Now, if you take a look at Montero, the last I looked, I think he's got one homer, 5-6 RBIs, and he's hitting, I believe, 370 or so at AAA. The Mariners are only going to exercise so much patience with Logan Morrison. And, hey, if you got deep enough bench, I'd throw a buck out there at Montero.
Wow, that is a great call, Tim. I'm just looking now what he's done in the minor leagues so far, and you're absolutely right, Tim. He's batting .405. So, well played, Mr. McLeod.
Well, you know me, Rich. I'm always looking and trying to play a little bit ahead of the game. If you can pick up Montero for a buck this week, the worst that happens is you spent a buck. If the Mariners decide that they're going to make a move at first base, how much would Montero cost you, say, next weekend if they make the move on Tuesday or Wednesday?
A lot, and that's a really, really brilliant call. Next on your list is Dan Heron. And if I recall, Dan Heron's got an interesting week. He's got at Philadelphia on Tuesday and then home against Washington on a two-start week. So you've got Dan Heron as a possible pickup. What about this week as a two-start pitcher? You got to take that risk with Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to take that risk because Philadelphia can't score any runs. Heron's off to a good start. He's a solid option. And I think if you're looking at trying to find a sneaky cheap pick, I think he's going to be okay this week. Whatever he gives up against Washington, he's going to take back against Philly, would be my take.
Carson Smith, Tim, relief pitcher with Seattle, not owned anywhere. What's your thinking there? Why is he a pickup? Because of Fernando Rondi stinks?
Well, yeah, you know, I shot an arrow in the air, and where it landed, it usually cost your team 3 earned runs. I think the leash is fairly long with Rodney, but at the same point in time, I look at the rest of that pen, and yeah, Farquhar's good. Is he a closer? I'm not sure. Medina, it's the same thing. Smith has really, really good stuff, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if there is a move made in Seattle, that a guy like Carson Smith with his stuff could eventually slide into that role. So everybody is spec-picking on setup guys. He's one of the few that people aren't. So I think he's a wise choice right about now.
That's just why you're the great Tim McLeod. Fernando Rondi, Tim, I don't know why you're busting on him. He's got a solid 12.46 ERA. I don't know what the problem is there.
I don't either. It's probably the whip.
Okay. Indar Inciarte, Tim, with the outfielder with Arizona. We kind of talked about him. He's got the full-time gig, or at least a lot of playing time, unless Tomas starts taking some of those playing time. But what's your opinion of Arizona calling up Tomas, and he's gotten 3 at-bats since they called him up?
I'm not quite sure what to make of that. Yeah, they called up a guy to sit him on the bench, and they sent him down because he wasn't in shape, and they wanted to play him. They wanted him to get into shape so he could come back to the team and contribute. Well, wouldn't he be better off playing every day at AAA than picking splinters out of his butt in Arizona?
Tim, I had a chance to see him. I saw him. I didn't go to Arizona this year. I went to Florida. So I saw a lot of games in Florida, none in Arizona. I think I saw one or two at-bats of Yasmani Tomas in spring training. But, Tim, I saw him at one of his at-bats. Dude, that guy has gotten bigger since spring training. I mean, he's as big as a house. I mean, it's definitely three clicks. I mean, this is a big boy, and maybe they got him closer so they can monitor him a little bit more, because Tim, he is way, way out of shape.
Well, yeah, and way, way out of shape is not going to translate into regular playing time. I just found it odd. Hey, maybe you're right. Maybe they want to keep a close eye on the kid with their big investment, but until they move Mark Trumbo, and apparently that is the rumor floating around that, you know, they're trying to find a taker for Trumbo. Until he goes, there's not enough at bats for both Trumbo and Tomas in that lineup.
I agree, Tim. And boy, Tomas is not looking like the next Jose Abreu. It's not good. And Ruzy Castillo nowhere to be seen. Last time I heard, he was injured, and Shane Victorino is batting 125.
Well, yeah, and Mookie Betts is struggling a bit right now, too. I think he's under 200, Rich. What's happening there?
Yeah, well, I mean, Tim, I don't know. I mean, his at-bats look pretty good. I mean, he's not striking out a ton. I think it's got let's attribute it to a low BABIP, Tim. Let's go with that.
That sounds Mookie absolutely perfect. Would you have bet money that Daniel Nava might be their best outfielder at this stage of the game?
After all the guys they brought in, Tim. No, so Mookie Betts at the beginning of the day was 209 batting average. So that's not real good. And he is 0 for his last five games. So that's probably where he went from the upper twos to the lower twos. He had that really breakout game a week ago where he hit the home run and two stolen bases. So it is ugly. And then, of course, Yonder Alonso, Tim, your final comments on Yonder Alonso.
Well, yeah, I just think he's going to score enough runs. He'll hit enough power that he should fit into your plans as a corner infielder, Rich. One other name I didn't list that I've got to mention, just hold on a second here. I'm patting myself on the back here for a second. Cody Martin pitched the eighth inning today and struck out two in the heart of the Jays' order. It looks like he's now moved into the setup role, Rich.
He is, Tim, he is on our team now. I got Kelvin Herrera when I saw that he was going to be suspended or looked like a suspended. I picked up Cody Martin. So we are proud owners in yet another league of Mr. Martin.
Well, that is good to see. Did you by any chance catch the wonderful move that our good friend Dr. Robert pulled in DL2 by any chance?
What move was that? I saw where he was trying to see if he could sell Bryant. I don't know if he got any takers, though.
Well, yeah, no. I was playing the guilt card with him because he's a great guy, a good friend, and he was in the chat room last week. Remember when we were discussing, and you said you wouldn't bid on Cody Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our good friend Dr. Robert did, and he outbid me on him.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that, Tim. So that was because I was actually looking to see which leagues he was available, and I went to the two leagues that we played together and saw you had him in one, and the good doctor had him in another. So, Tim, real quick on the two start pitchers, because you're probably going to get booted in about 5 minutes. Nick or Nice Martinez, 18% start in the CBS at Arizona, and my good buddy Chase Anderson at Los Angeles, and Hector Santiago. Do you take a dare with Nick Martinez this week?
No, Mike Trout's due for another two home run game, and Martinez is the guy.
Oh man, Mike Trout is so good, Tim. I mean, I know he's the number one draft pick, and I get all of that, but if you just watch him play, I mean, he is really, really good.
Oh, he's absolutely amazing. I believe this week he became the fastest player in the history of the game to 100 homers and 100 stolen bases, and he's what, 23, 24?
23-10. I mean, he beat A-Rod by several hundred days. A-Rod, Tim, what do you think of that? Contact rate in the 50s, but he's got four home runs. He's putting powder on his helmet for some reason. You buying A-Rod?
Well, you know, I was talking to my good friend Buck Davidson, and he said the home run that he hit in the Trop the other night, that 471 shot, it's the longest of the year. He said it is one of a handful of home runs he's ever seen travel that far in that building. You know, despite all of the animosity, whatever you want to call it with A-Rod, you got to love the fact that right now he's the best player on the Yankees.
That's amazing, Tim. He could be. Speaking of your good friend Buck, you sent me his email address, and I wrote him about life living in the Tampa St. Pete area, Tim. He sent me like six or seven long paragraphs of all kinds of stuff to do and how he loves living there, et cetera, et cetera. It was fantastic. So maybe one day I'll be sitting with your good friend Buck Martinez. If the St. Pete Rays still exist, I'll be in St. Pete watching a game with him one day.
Well, yeah, the two of you will be sitting back, enjoying a cold beverage, watching a game, and I'll be living in my winter house outside of Duluth.
There you go. Despaña, Tim, with San Diego. 10% started in CBS at Colorado, and Jorge De La Rosa, assuming he comes back from the DL, and somebody called to be determined in Los Angeles. What about Despaña, Tim? Had a nice run last year and now got the starting gig again with San Diego.
Well, the last I looked, Colorado still had Cargo and Tulo in the lineup, and everybody else is hitting. So I can't put him out there against Colorado. And, you know, the Dodgers have got a ton of offense as well. So I think this is one of those weeks where poor Mr. Despaña could be heading for a serious beatdown.
It could be, Tim. Trevor Cahill once was good with Oakland, now is sporting a 15.43 ERA. Again, only after 2 1/3 innings, but the fact that he only made it 2 1/3 innings in his initial start, Tim. He's got a two-start week with the upstart New York Metropolitans and at Philadelphia against Jerome Williams. You like that out at Philadelphia, Tim, but can he get by the Mets?
Well, you know what? I'm sort of thinking that if Philadelphia ever wants an opportunity to show any offensive prowess, this could be the week. So I'm expecting the Philadelphia offense to rain fire on Mr. Cahill. So I got to keep him on the bench.
He's terrible, Tim. I'm surprised he still has a job. I'm surprised that Atlanta traded for him. I know they were just trying to say, hey, let's see what we can get, because they seem to be trading partners with everybody at the moment. But I think Cahill's done.
Yeah. He really looked rough in that first start. So I have no expectations moving forward with Trevor Cahill. None.
No. Tim, Hector Santiago with the Los Angeles Angels, 5% started. Home against Oakland and Drew Pomeranz, and home against Texas and Nice Martinez. What do you got, Tim? Uh-oh. That's it. There goes the beeps, and there goes Mr. McLeod. So we got through most of the show. So that's it. We're going to call it a night. Again, I apologize to everybody about the audio trouble we had. Tim was able to stay on about every 10 minutes and then get kicked off. Guys, I write for Prospect361.com. I spent time out in the California League and one game at Trenton this week. There will be some stuff coming up. I did get a chance to see Jose De Leon, who is a young pitcher with the Los Angeles Dodgers, High A, Rancho Cucamonga. Real deal. Guy throws hard, throws strikes. He's going to move very, very quickly. So you could see him moving and being in the Dodgers maybe next year. So some guy that I liked a lot. I saw Brett Phillips again. Did not have a very good two games that I saw, but the swing is still there. Not a power guy, but a guy who's going to be a nice little outfielder, kind of a Ben Zobrist type of player. So those are two real quick little verbal scouting reports. You'll see more details coming up on Prospect 361 this week. I appreciate Tim trying to join us. He got dropped 5 times. Hopefully it is on my end, and I just got a bad connection and it caused problems. And if it persists, I'll contact Blog Talk Radio and we will get it resolved. Everybody, we will see you next week. Everybody have a terrific week. Good luck and be well.